called Walking the Way, Living the Life of Jesus Today. Apparently, you can't just call it Walking the Way. You have to get the whole title in. Walking the Way, Living the Life of Jesus Today. That's catchy, isn't it? As part of that denomination-wide emphasis, we've been looking at the habits of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, let me remind you of those practices that transformed their faith and discipleship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. That's what we're thinking about today. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So we're thinking about those things based on this book by the lovely Andrew Roberts, very lovely Methodist man. We've been starting thinking about the habits of the early church in Acts that was transformational to their life and their being. And today we're thinking about prayer, one of the 10 holy habits. So as I was thinking about what should we talk about when we talk about prayer, I was thinking about this congregation. And I was thinking about, actually, some of you have taught me stuff about prayer that you've taught me. The minister doesn't know everything. So I thought we've got a gathered pool of knowledge and experience here. So today we're going to do a bit of talking to one another and a bit of praying with one another. I apologize if you are very, very introvert and you hate that with a passion. It won't last forever. I apologize. So I've got two questions for you that I'd like you to discuss with those around you. So it might be that you have to find somebody that if you're sitting by yourself or go join someone else. Why is prayer important for you? There's no right or wrong answer. And what helps you in your prayer life? Is there a tip to share with us this morning? You have 2 minutes. On your marks, get set, go. One more time. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us. Gracious and ever-loving God, we offer our lives to you. Help us as we break open your word to be open to your spirit in our thoughts and our feelings and in what we will do with the word broken open. Support us as we seek to learn more about these habits of the Christian life, that we will practice them, and that you will form in us the character of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, we're thinking about prayer, the holy habit that we're thinking about today. As we've already said, it's based on this book by the lovely Andrew Roberts, and he says this of prayer. Oh, no, he doesn't. I've not done that slide. He says, prayer is a foundational and transformative holy habit, a way of being, the breath of life. It reorientates us in right relationship. Oh, there you go. I've done it in the wrong order, haven't I? With God, with others, and the world. It's an antidote to the selfishness of sin. I like that. Is that your experience of prayer? I would hope that everybody here who says they're a Christian thinks that prayer is valuable in your walk with God. Now, if I said to you, put your hand up if you think prayer's rubbish and you never do it, I don't think anybody would have the guts to go, well, actually, it's a load of tosh, Louise. Don't pray, because I'll be like, I'll talk to you afterwards. Martin Luther King said this: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. The idea is that prayer is part of the thing that we do. It's part of our life force as Christians. It's part of the essence of the Christian life. Now, if a person had never gone to Liverpool Football Club, or for balance, Everton or Tranmere, doesn't know any of the players, never watched a minute of that team in their life, doesn't know when the team plays, knows nothing about the game, would you call that person a fan? Somebody's bound to say no, you'd call them a Man U fan. No, little football joke there. You wouldn't. And so if a person has never talked to God, never makes time in their day, would you say that that's a Christian? I wonder. Prayer is part of the spiritual air that we breathe. It's one of the ways that we build relationship and intimacy with God. It's how we connect with the one who longs to connect with us. And it was a hallmark of the early church community, one of the holy habits in Acts chapter 2. We heard this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Remember the story of the early church. Pentecost had happened. It had made all the difference. They'd been praying together as disciples for the Holy Spirit to come, and pow, at Pentecost, big stuff happened. And all of a sudden, their prayers took on a new vibrancy, a new passion. Their prayers were spontaneous. They could see that they were praying and God was answering. And so they prayed with more passion and intensity, either in their native tongue or in a new learned language. And it was with passion and with urgency and with expectation and vision that they prayed. And sometimes we pray like that. Sometimes. Not always. But they didn't just pray like that. Or rah! They also were quiet too. It wasn't the only way they prayed. Dr. Luke, who wrote Acts and Luke and the Gospel of Luke, slips in a little phrase that in the original Greek says they devoted themselves to all the things we heard and to the prayers. And to the prayers. We get the impression, scholars say, that it wasn't just all spontaneity and rah. It was also set liturgies. So some of you will be very happy about that. It was also part of the regular routine of being connected to the temple. Apparently, within their regular prayer practice, they used shared Jewish prayers and they added Christian flavor to it, part of which was the Lord's Prayer. They sat and they prayed together. So a real mix of spontaneity and off the cuff and a mix of set liturgy. Not just one way to pray. So if you're a spontaneous prayer, they also prayed set prayers. If you're a set prayer, maybe you need to know they also prayed spontaneity in their prayers. I like that. There's not just one way to pray. Prayer, our discipleship should be varied, and so should our prayer life. Luke talked about prayer all the time. Let me quickly remind you of one teaching on prayer. It comes from Luke chapter 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread.'" We've just prayed this. "Forgive us our sins, as for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation." Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.' And a friend of mine a friend of mine is on a journey, has come to me and I have no food to offer him. Suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you everything, give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I love that phrase, shameless audacity. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus is teaching his followers about prayer, and they're noticing what he's doing, that he's modeling a life of prayer, spending time with his Father and teaching his followers to pray with boldness and with persistence, with the keep it up prayer that we heard about as a tip earlier on. He says to ask, to seek, and to knock, to keep on going. What was the phrase? With shameless audacity. Some of us are good at shameless audacity. Some others are like, oh, we're a bit too introvert for shameless audacity. Can we do slightly a little less shameless audacity, please? But to keep on going, to keep on going and asking. And I think the problem with this is we have a sin of self-sufficiency. We don't like to ask because that means we need help. And we're not good at asking for help. Perhaps I'm just talking about myself. I'm rubbish at asking for help. And just think of the words that we use when we ask for help. We say, well, I'm sorry to bother you. We say, I hate to ask, but I know you're busy, but they're all negative. We don't like to ask for help because we have a disease of independence. We British people, perhaps all of us do. We don't like to ask for help. We don't like to inconvenience others. We don't like to ask for help, and it's even harder to accept help when it's given. God wants us to ask for help, to be not bothered at all about the asking, to ask with shameless audacity, and to keep on asking. Because that's what children do. For those of you who've had children, grandchildren, you will know that children never shut up. They never stop asking. They never stop talking. Can I watch TV? Can I have this? Can I have that? If a day went by when they stopped asking, you'd think there was a problem. If all of a sudden, the child that you know in your life said nothing, it might sound like a dream come true for 24 hours. Sam's going, oh, I'd love that. But after a while, if they never asked for anything to eat or drink, or never asked for a cuddle, or never asked to play, after a while, that would start to bother you. You'd be wanting the speech therapist or the child psychologist. Our nature is to ask. But sometimes we grow up and independence becomes something embedded in our soul. We live lives that are unconnected too often and way too self-sufficient. Ask, says Jesus. Seek, knock, and keep knocking because the Father gives good gifts to those who ask. So I just want to remind you, in case you've forgotten, I'm sure you haven't, that prayer is a foundational habit if you are a Christian. And our calling is to grow in it, to develop it, to learn to pray. In Acts, the prayer wasn't just confined to the homes of the believers or to the temple. They were out on the streets praying with shameless audacity. They were asking and they were receiving answers. And thousands were being added to their number, we hear. They were confident and they were connected. So that's the question I have to ask you. Are you confident and connected? And when I say confident, I don't mean that you've got to be exuberant and extrovert. That's not what I mean. Do you believe in the prayers that you pray and in the God who answers them? Are you confident in expectation of who God is? Are you connected? The early church prayed in different ways, as I said. And I want to challenge you that if you have found that your prayers are dry at the moment, because we all go through those times, it's usual. Sometimes our faith is on fire and we feel really connected, and at times, you know, it feels like we're talking to the wall. Or maybe that's just me. If your prayers are dry and you need a bit of injection of faith and confidence, can I suggest to you that you mix things up a bit? If you normally sit to pray, get up and go for a walk. Prayer walk, your road. If your words have gone stale, how about paint your prayers instead? Jim or Jenny will show you how.
Jenny's going, will I?
If normally you're a quiet prayer, perhaps go somewhere and have a good old shout
at God. Couldn't do that.
If you're a loud pacing prayer, I know that Dan feels when we get to pray in our meetings that unless he's standing up pacing, that he's not actually praying. Some people are like that. If you're a pacing prayer and your prayers have gone dry, perhaps sit with a Bible and a candle and see where the Holy Spirit will take you. I'd like to challenge you to pray. To pray, because prayer is good. Here, in your homes, in the homes of one another, to be a praying person, because it will change you. It will change us. It will change our community. It will change this nation when we pray for it. Sybil is right. Because it's how we communicate with a God who longs to listen. If you need some ideas, I have brought lots with me. I've got photocopied ideas. I've got books on prayer. If you want to borrow some, there's loads of resources in the library. Remember, we prayed, B and Andrew, I think those cards are still available. Pray for three people. Pray with us before the services. Get people putting things in the Pray One For Me box. Come to one of the fresh bread evenings and soaking events that Susan does so beautifully. They are wonderful. Use the prayer diary. Contribute to the prayers in your fellowship group. Go for prayer with the ministry team. Pray with a friend after the service or during the week. I'm giving you loads of ideas. Commit to up your game on prayer, to mix it up if you need to. Because as Jill rightly said, she's moved seats. Prayer works. And it changes things when we pray. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that you have given us the ability to connect with us through the Holy Spirit, but through your Father listening ear when you bend down and hear us. Thank you. How wonderful is that? Would you help us be a praying people in whatever ways that that will work for us personally, corporately, and as we pray for our community and this nation and this world. Would you remind us that you are a God who acts? Would you help us to be confident and to be connected and to believe in the power of our prayers? Give us the gift of faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.